Here's Higdon, it sits up nicely for Michael Higdon! And what a start for Motherwell! But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Sutton! Magnificent Malt! Stephen Robinson celebrates! Motherwell, 2-1! Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr and Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, myself, Andy and Pepe will look back in victories over Ross County and Dundee United. We'll reflect on Saturday's 2-1 defeat at Celtic Park and look ahead to games against Kilmarnock and Hamilton Accies in the forthcoming week. Guys, welcome along.
Cheers, Andy.
How are you doing?
Yep, I'm doing fine. And Andy, I will start with yourself. We'll start with the most recent game as well, the 2-1 defeat at Celtic Park. Now, we kind of quite often talk about trips to Celtic, and while in recent years we've not had many hammerings, we tend to go down kind of fighting but fairly convincingly as well. It looked like that was going to be the case again on Saturday, 2-0 down early on in the second half, but Alan Campbell scores somewhat fortuitously. It takes a big nick on the way in, and suddenly we had that wee bit of momentum. Celtic looked a bit rattled. And by full time, they looked very relieved to hear the full time whistle go. So, another positive performance. And as I say, we'll go back and look on the wins at Ross County and Dundee United. But I think from a game that we wouldn't expect to take anything, we'll take some encouragement at least that we're able to compete. We've not taken a demoralising battering. And the momentum continues into a massive, massive week where we go to Rugby Park and then face Hamilton at Firth Park on Saturday.
I would say it's kind of one of those ones. I wasn't quite sure whether to be kind of disappointed or quietly kind of satisfied to some extent. I'd imagine that Alexander would have been fairly, well, more than fairly unhappy with the way that we started. I can well imagine that pretty much from kind of Thursday morning onwards, the importance of not conceding early, getting a foothold into the game, trying to nick a goal and especially get the first goal and see if we can capitalise on any kind of perceived vulnerability from Celtic side. So to concede so early was just a total kick in the teeth. That said, we kind of rode our luck for a wee bit and eventually kind of settled and gradually started kind of creating opportunities. I certainly got up the park fairly regularly as well. And once you kind of kept it going and didn't concede the killer kind of second early on, you've always got that kind of chance, couple of wee half chances, argument for a penalty, although from the kind of one shot that I've seen behind the goals, to me it looked like the foul was outside and it kind of fell into the box. Again, when you concede early in the second half, you think that's it, just damage limitation now, and we kind of concentrate in the next game. But no, fair play, they dug in. We got the goal back, and you were left kind of pretty gutted that we didn't actually get a point in the end. They didn't react to our goal well at all. With a good bit of pressure, couple of opportunities as well, and it was fairly agonising seeing the kind of ball cleared off the line at the end of it. So, but certainly there's plenty of encouragement that we can take going forward, that's for sure. Disappointment at the weekend though was it looked as if we kind of come out of that with the bonus of having not lost any or been caught up any by any of the teams below. So it was a bit of a sickener that Aki's managed to get that late equaliser against Rangers. But we've got further encouragement about our own display. Things are certainly in our hands, and things are much improved position-wise from where they were a few weeks ago.
Scott, I think as well as position-wise in the table, performance wise as well, things are certainly looking up. Albeit the first half at Ross County I thought was pretty poor, but we controlled the majority of the game against Dundee United, and then there was a number of good performances again on Saturday. I think the combination of Chris Long, Devante Cole and Tony Watt is really coming to fruition just now. Liam Kelly in goal has been absolutely fantastic. Three or four good saves in each of the last three matches. So he looks like he's going to be a very big part of a conclusion to the season. Alan Campbell was the best I've seen him in maybe 2 or 3 months against Celtic. So there's positives on the park. And we just need to carry that momentum. I think that more and more just now we're seeing that maybe the players did need a fresh voice and fresh leadership. The quality we thought was there within the squad, and that seems to be the case. We seem to be getting better performances and in turn better results as well.
I had said that I thought that the next two games being Ross County and Kilmarnock, that I thought we would get a minimum of 4 points, but actually said I think we'll win both games. You have mentioned the first half against Ross County. I don't think they really threatened us that much. I just don't think that we had kicked into get out of first gear at all. I think the other thing that's important is that we have made some signings, so there is some kind of competition now for places. It's quite difficult to pick the team. I think one of the frustrations that I've found for the managers comes in is that we don't seem to know who's injured, and if they are injured, what their injury is, how long they're going to be out. You must quite like to keep that close to his chest. If you look at the kind of the new signings coming in, the best signing I think without doubt is Liam Kelly, but Stephen Lawless will hopefully be closer behind that, and we've not really seen anything of him so far, so that's still to come. So that's going to be another wee bonus that we'll have. The Dundee United game, again, we could have been clear and cut and dry, and we were left kind of scrapping on. But I think what's important is, out of the games that we've kind of quickly glazed over there, is that something that we spoke about probably just before Christmas, and you made a valid point that, I mean, have we come back from being one down, two down, whatever? And in every game that Ross County have come back and won it, Celtic, we looked as if we were potentially going to do it, and probably we should have done it. I think Harry Smith should have buried that chance in the last minute. Just, again, fine margins and a wee bit of luck. But the character of the attitude seems to be so much improved. Actually enjoying watching us and looking forward, always looking forward to games, because this is I kind of build my week round about football to take your mind off the groundhog day that we're living in at the moment. But actually now you're watching the stream, enjoying it, getting off your seat, actually feeling as if we're going in the right direction. Still, main criticism, I think McGabby has improved, but our central defence is the weak area. If you look at the game on Saturday against Celtic, I don't know what Lammy's doing for both goals, I would say. And then against Dundee United, it's again McGabby that leaves his man. Although he is improving, I'd be interested to see if these new signings are paired with Declan Gallagher and when they're going to be given a chance. But all in all, I'd say there's definitely more positives than negatives, particularly since Graham Alexander's been appointed. It shows you how crucial the Liam Polworth sending off was against Aberdeen, because they're obviously have had a really poor run, and that really helped them. So you never know. I think we're still looking up. I don't think we need to. I was not overly concerned that Hamilton get a draw. I fully expect us to give them a scene over in Saturday coming. So I'm quite happy with the way it went against Celtic. It was frustrating, but it could have been worse. We could just have kind of gave up, but we showed that fighting spirit, and that's all that we need. Our luck will change at some point. And another day we'd have got that penalty, and another day we'd have got the penalty against Dundee United. But that's all due to come.
Andy, just a final one, and this possibly goes in all three games, but we'll stick with the Celtic game just now. The performances of Barry Maguire in the last couple of weeks have been a massive positive. I think we've mentioned before that he was a player very much on the brink. We didn't know whether he was going to eventually kick on. He's 23 years of age, so he's no longer a youngster, so to speak. And most of our young players that have kicked on in the last maybe 10 years have done so before they've got to that age. Saying that as well, though, he has had limited opportunities, and I think this is the first real consistent run he's getting in the team. He certainly seems to have found at least a life under Graham Alexander, and even from dead ball situations, he's putting in a number of dangerous crosses, and his part in the first goal at Ross County as well was excellent in terms of his contribution to breaking up the play and then moving it wide as well.
Yes, it's been quite pleasing to see him kind of establish himself to some degree. When we made the kind of number of signings, you kind of wondered if he would be vulnerable. But you know, having kind of performed pretty well in the win in Dingwall, it was good to see that he retained his starting place for Dundee United, and again at the weekend. I mean, he's shown elements across. He's played a number of under 21 Scotland international games as well, and there's been elements of what he can do across that and the games that he's played in at Fir Park. You know, it's for Motherwell rather. You know, there's a kind of lot of kind of attributes there that are good. You know, he's obviously got height. He's got distribution. Good turn. I don't know if he's two-footed, but he looks certainly quite comfortable with kind of both feet as well. You know, there's a range of passing there, ability in set pieces as well, and we've seen him have the odd shot from distance too. So you know, there's a kind of lot of attributes there that are prerequisites here, kind of modern day midfielder. So it's good to see him establish himself in recent times, and hopefully he can continue that going forward.
Apologies to Barry Maguire as well, because he's only 22. But yeah, I think that the point still stands that perhaps there has been a wee bit of a delay in him kicking on. His debut came in 2017. So he's not managed to accumulate a great number of appearances up until now. But it certainly looks like he's going to take his place in the team, and he's certainly done a very good job in the last couple of weeks. On to the Dundee United game. And Scott, I think this was perhaps our stages, our best performance of the season so far. We were very much touch and go in the first 10 minutes. And then after that, we really got into the game. We took command, scored two excellent goals. Really slick play from Devante Cole to score the opener and turn the ball home. The second goal was a great one-touch passing move, finished off by Chris Long from around about 20 yards. Looked pretty comfortable going into half-time, but you know that 2-0 can be a bit of a dangerous lead. United had their chances in the second half, but so did we, and there was plenty of occasions where I felt that we should have taken the opportunities that came our way. There was a Stonewall penalty denied with about 10 minutes to go as well. Nathan McGinley wasn't even in the squad for Saturday's game, given the boot in the face he took. It somehow didn't get deemed as punishable as a foul, so therefore wasn't a penalty. But all in all, we got the result. And at times this season, I think we would have lost that late equaliser, but we held in. We've got a wee bit more grit and determination about us just now, and that's certainly another positive there.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think the first 10 minutes was really, really kind of us just again waiting to get started. But once we did get going, there wasn't really any looking back. We should really have been out of sight. As you've already mentioned, the front three really seem to have clicked well together. What I like about them is that they interchange positions. So basically, Cole goes out wide, Tony Watt will drift into the central area, and vice versa for Chris Long. They really do complement one another really, really well, which is good to see. As you've mentioned, Barry Maguire has done well. But I think Robbie Crawford's kind of done well. He's one of these players where I can't really put in my foot what he does well, but I can't say that he doesn't do something well. He's a kind of strange player, you know what I mean? I'm not saying he's been a wonderful signing, but I'm not saying he's just a kind of a, I don't know, I mean, I wouldn't be gutted if he was dropped for Mark O'Hara on Saturday, but at the same time, I'd be quite happy if he was playing. He's a strange kind of player to try and describe. But for some nice passing moves, and he seems to do the kind of the dirty work, if you like, pretty well. So I was quite happy when he signed. He's a good player to have in the squad. Now, whether or not he'll be first pick, I don't know, but he's done relatively well. As you say, he could kind of have a feel the Dundee United goal coming. There was that wonderful save for Liam Kelly, and then I've already said that kind of Mugabe, maybe I'm just being harsh on him, leaves his man at the corner at a time where we are under pressure, and he just lets that relax go. And I think McGabby's again been so much improved, and I was really disappointed and you could see he was disappointed in himself. So hopefully that's just a wee blip. One thing that did interest me was when Chris Long scored that great goal, that he kind of had the celebration of the two fingers in the ears, as if that will shut yous up. I don't know what that was aimed at, or who it was aimed at, or what you guys thought of it, but certainly I picked up on it. But I thought he was excellent against Celtic as well. Thought his running was great, and he looks as if he's back to the kind of Chris Long of last season. Whether it's coincidental that's coming to the end of his contract, like, I thought he really hit the ground running kind of a January last year. But I was just wondering what that wee kind of celebration with the kind of fingers in the ear and who that was aimed at.
I wouldn't read too much into it, to be honest. He's always kind of had a wee bit of a habit of strange celebrations, even thinking back to the game at Hearts before the pandemic really kicked in and suspended football last season. The sitting down in the ground and crossing his arms and almost kind of refusing to celebrate. He seems like a bit of a huffy character at times, but certainly when he's on his game, he's a massive asset to have. And it's good to see him rediscovering the forum. Maybe it was all about just getting that number 9 jersey back and he would kick on from there. But certainly, I think Cole is responsible for getting the best out of Long and Tony Watt. They're both performing really well. And I hope the goals start to come for Tony Watt, because his all-round play has been very, very good in recent weeks. And the only thing that is lacking is just getting on the score sheet.
Well, I should have mentioned Tony Watt. I think he's really, really, really surprised me. I can't even... I just didn't think he was that type of player. He's such a... He gives 100%. Every game he looks as if he's absolutely knackered. And he's been... Him and, as I've said, the front three have been brilliant. It's getting to this. I generally think if he had added goals, then we would pretend, if we continue in this run and he continues in this reign of form, then I don't think that the strikers that Scotland have got, I'm not saying he'd be first pick, but maybe when he'd be a bad guy to have on the bench for holding up the ball and work great alone. I'm not saying that he'll take over from Lyndon Dykes or anybody else, but he is that type of player that could maybe just, if he added a few goals, maybe turn Steve Clarke's head, you never know.
Yeah, it certainly would be interesting. I'm kind of mindful of the fact that we're having to go for three games here, so I'll jump back to almost 2 weeks ago now, the victory over Ross County, our first victory since Halloween in the league. Of course, we went on and won the following game as well, so we're in a decent vein of form just now. Andy, it's all about Mount Everest, isn't it? And the a massive leap to score that winning goal. 1-0 down at half-time, it was looking pretty grim, and there was a lot of anger amongst the Motherwell support, particularly in social media. It looked like a team that were going through the motions. For Graeme Alexander to go in and deliver what was undoubtedly his most important team talk in his short time at Motherwell, and for the team to turn it around and put in that performance to go in and claim the vital 3 points, the significance of that can't be downplayed.
The point we were at this season, it was pretty vital at the very least that we got was a draw, and I don't think we could have asked for much better than what we got in terms of the way that they responded going in behind. It was just excellent, really encouraging. There was a good bit of football played for the first goal and the build up to it, and just we kind of started the way you'd want to start a half and just never really let up. You know, County really didn't get much of a sniff, I can recollect. As you say, they were kind of two games down from there, of course, but it was a win that was well merited, well deserved, and it's kind of laid the kind of platform for, you know, getting into games with a kind of bit of confidence and keeping that momentum going that's built up in the back of it. And you know, it was a vital win and well deserved.
I know that when things aren't going well, the media team take a wee bit of flack for some of their output, but I think, and yet again, they deserve to be commended on the work around Mugabe's goal and just some of the PR that the club got out of that. It was an absolutely extraordinary leap, and sports scene picked up on it that night. The fact that at the highest point of his leap, he was above the height of the crossbar. Then Ali Riley and Grant Russell went away and analysed it. It was actually higher than the incredible leap by Cristiano Ronaldo. I think it was against Sampdoria last season. So they all just kind of made it out that the Bevis is some sort of Cristiano Ronaldo type athlete. And it was picked up far and wide. And it's a bit of fun overall, but it also kind of just keeps that good feeling around the club going as well. And I think that is very significant, that we can kind of have a bit of a laugh and just feel positive considering how many hours we've spent in the house watching streams of games that have been below par. And we've been a bit down about Motherwell as a whole for the majority of the season. So having some kind of good fun and good times out of this season has been a bit of a rare feeling. And I think they captured the mood quite well there. Nobody coming back in, no.
I'm just scared to take... I totally agree with you. It was a good bit of... I'm going to give you some credit at first. Well, not really credit. I seen that you'd put it on the MFC podcast Twitter, and I thought, that's really good for Andy to do all that research and get that done as quick. And I didn't actually realise it was Sports Scene that you'd stole it from. So your kudos quickly diminished for me. But you're right, though. I mean,
see that earlier on. Well, I would like to interrupt there because I didn't actually get kudos at the time. You thought that was really good, but you didn't bother actually telling me it was really good. So that was a bit wasted anyway.
I was going to, and then I found out soon after. So sorry, but that was good. It was good that you stole it. What I was going to say is, I mean, we do realise that football, I've actually looked forward to it now. I'm glad that we've got these fixtures coming up, kind of Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. It does make your week go by, and it must be difficult for anybody working in football, including the players, for this time, and probably taking off subject a wee bit. I mean, I just can't wait to see how the crowds will swell when this is all over. I think it will be. I just hope that we can all get in and pack it out. Fair play to you. It was an amazing leap, but I'm going to take it back to a negative. I just hope that he's defending improves as much as his goal scoring prowess did.
Yeah, it's a good moment and a really good win. We'll look at the transfer window, and again, I think when your backs are up against the wall, a new manager in, it was almost inevitable that there was going to be a lot of new faces arriving at the club. Deadline day started with Robbie Crawford signing a permanent deal with the club. And there was a few more that would arrive over the course of the day as well. We had Eddie Nolan coming in on loan from Crewe Alexander. The day after the window slammed shut, Tyler Maglory, he arrived from Blackburn on loan. I hope that pronunciation was all right. We also had the arrival of Sam Foley, who arrived in a free transfer from St Mirren. And that added on to the signings of Harry Smith and Stephen Lawless, as well as Liam Kelly earlier on in the window. So, Andy, plenty of new faces in. Not many leaving the club either. So it's a very bulked up squad that we've got going into the final few months of the season.
That was quite interesting. One of the kind of criticisms, and I haven't really seen it levied at Alexander as yet. Time for that will maybe come, depending upon the quality of these signings being known. But certainly one of the things, I mean, I'm a fairly well known, I was an advocate of Robinson, and one of the things that he was kind of accused of was building up squads that were large in number, but not necessarily large in quality once you got beyond the kind of the first 12 or 13. So very interesting to see his thoughts that he wants to have at least one or at least two players for each position, so that there's an element of competitiveness there for the position, and to hopefully have his training at a level that was as close as possible for replicating match day situations. So that's an interesting one. We'll see how that one goes. It was kind of a bit up and down as like an evening was kind of progressing. I think after some of the kind of windows where we've lost players late, there's always that kind of apprehension that, you know, once you get into those last few hours, that, you know, someone comes in, it's the domino effect that somebody goes like two or three clubs away and they look to then replace them. Next club looks to replace that player that they've lost, and so on and so on. And it can leave teams like us vulnerable. But we managed to negotiate that. There was some speculation that, you know, bids were knocked back for Alan Campbell, perhaps earlier than the final day of the window. And we were able to kind of chip away and announce some signings and announce some contract extensions as well. So I think over the piece, we've got to be pretty happy with the business that was conducted. And I don't think anyone can contest that we were in a stronger position leaving January than we were going into January. So positive one.
Scott, I missed out Jordan Roberts, who arrived on loan from Hearts, which was quite a surprising signing, given that Roberts hasn't been playing for Hearts in the Championship. But Graeme Alexander clearly sees something in him, and he gave him his debut during the second half against Celtic. And there was also Stephen O'Donnell signing up until the end of the season as well. It's a move that you would like to think suits both parties, in the sense that O'Donnell needs regular football to ensure his place in the Scotland squad for the Euros. He has been a consistent performer, albeit maybe not hitting the heights that we see him produce in the dark blue of Scotland. I think the reaction to Roberts was a bit of an interesting one. I think the negative voices are always the loudest, certainly when it comes to any football team. Seems a bit unfair to write the guy off before he's kicked a ball, but certainly it's not a signing to get excited about by the same token. It's a guy that's been a bit of a journeyman. He's not really managed to rack up a great number of appearances during his career. So really, he's going to need to kick on and do it quite quickly if he's going to catch the eye.
Phil, I agree with you. Absolutely everything that you say. It wasn't an exciting signing. Particularly the fact that Elliot Freer was allegedly keeping him out of the Hearts team. But sometimes these guys just float around clubs and then they find the right club. And the example I'm going to use is quite a lazy one, but Tony Watt, I wouldn't say it critics, but it didn't work at St Johnstone, it didn't really work at Hearts. He'd been away abroad, he had this attitude thing. and he came to Motherwell, and you could see right away. I remember the St Mirren game where he had the socks at the ankles and he was virtually running in empty, but still willing to run. So we need to give him a chance. I was excited when I was sitting up last Monday to see the signing coming, though, wasn't he? But at the end of the day, you never know. It might just find home here. But I think one of the important things is, and I agree with what Andy's saying, that we are building a big squad, but there's not many of them that have got lengthy contracts. So it leaves options for them to try and work toward getting a contract. And two, if it doesn't work out, then we cut ties, and hopefully we're not in a relegation fight. And it's really then that the manager gets a chance to really build his squad. Andy P, the last time we were on, said that we were working on improvements. And certainly, some of the signings seem to be, some of them are up for debate, but hopefully we'll find out that they're all decent signings in the weeks to come. The interesting thing that the manager said was that a lot of the loan players coming back, like Sir Jamie Semple, Ross McKeever, that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, Harry Robinson, were all recalled from their loan so that they could have more bounce games. And again, it was something that we'd spoke about players not getting games, and Dean Cornelius, Max Johnston. So all these players will be playing in-house games, and they don't have the squad capable of doing that. So that was an interesting point that I picked up for the manager. But again, I think Stephen O'Donnell is a great addition. I've heard him speaking recently, saying about potentially even extending it to next year. I don't think we, as a Motherwell, would get a better right back. I don't think he's been outstanding. I totally agree with you that he certainly looked better in Scotland, but he's playing with better players. So I was delighted when he signed. That was really the one that I was waiting for, and it kept us hanging right to the end. I was absolutely delighted when Stephen O'Donnell had signed. Still a wee bit surprised that he was given the captain's armband, considering that he's potentially going to a short-term signing. But his experience speaks volumes, and I was absolutely delighted with that bit of business. Overall, I was quite happy with the signings. It's always exciting when you've got quite a few signings. Let's just hope there's not any Tony Strakers involved in this batch.
Andy, is it kind of noticeable that the fact that, with the exception of Crawford and O'Donnell, Liam Kelly obviously has been in goal for a few games now, the rest of them all on the bench, or in the case of Sam Foley, wasn't in the squad. Stevie Wallace is obviously carrying an injury just now, but these guys, have they been brought in for cover rather than come straight into the squad? Nolan, again, he's another example of someone that's been signed on the Monday but not been deemed ready to go into the 18 for the game on the Saturday.
Well, I think I've read with a couple of them that they haven't really been involved with their clubs, either through injury or just not through kind of selection for the manager. So the likes of Foley, I don't think he played too many games. I think the guy for Blackburn hasn't been involved in too many games this season, and Nolan, I think, has only played in a couple of games, if I remember rightly. So it's going to take a wee while for them to kind of get up to some sort of speed. Ideally, you would want them to be there ready to go, but you know, it's going to take a bit of time. I mean, we've kind of mentioned before about players coming up from England, and I know our reputation of our game always takes a kind of hammering, but there's a speed that the game's played at in our top flight that they'll need to get up to meet that. And we've got quite a few fixtures in February, so it may be that, you know, as they kind of get more and more sharp and ready for kind of introducing, be that 45 minutes, half an hour, or whatever the case may be, that they'll begin to show their worth then. And latterly, as the kind of season goes on, if there is a requirement to use them, then they're there. The danger would be is if you don't sign them, is if we have some sort of kind of replication of the injury issues that we had in the first part of the season, then you're left a bit threadbare. So I think we're better than erring on the side of caution. If the manager believes that there's going to be a chance that they'll improve in what we've got, or at least maintain the level of what we've got, and there's not such a big drop off if suspensions and injuries or illness kind of takes hold.
One thing that I would say, just Andy, you mentioned just a minute ago about the brilliant job that the media team had done with the comparison with the Ronaldo jump and stuff. But what surprised me a wee bit is that we've not really heard anything from the new signings. The manager's maybe briefly said it, but I mean, I don't really remember much hearing in for Stephen Lawless for he's signed. But so it's hard to kind of judge not just the player's ability, but the player's character, because there hasn't been a great deal. We've signed quite a few players, but there's been nothing much coming from that side of it, which is a wee bit unusual. Maybe it's just a new tact that the media team are doing. But I always quite enjoyed hearing for the new signings and getting to see what they're actually like as people as well, as what they're kind of what they expect to bring. But that's maybe just me that's been a bit old fashioned.
I think following his signing, he did the press before it, but I guess you don't really want to put someone in front of a camera if they're still 3 or 4 weeks away from being ready to step in as well, because it maybe creates a false expectation that they're up to speed, just because why would you put them in front of the press otherwise? So maybe that's, or maybe it's going to be something that's used for the kind of monthly documentary as well. I wouldn't read too much into that. I think that perhaps thrusting them in front of the camera and kind of almost trying to make a profile for them before they've kicked a ball can be a wee bit of a dangerous thing as well, and create a false impression or heightened expectation when the reality might be that they are 2 or 3 weeks away from being ready for competitive football.
I certainly wasn't a criticism. It's just that I don't, some of the players that I don't know a great deal about, and it would, so obviously you're kind of making assumptions on and doing your own kind of a research, and sometimes other, like for example, we spoke about the negativity with Jordan Roberts. I sometimes just like to, maybe it's a personal thing, I always just like to hear from them, but as you say, it might come up in the kind of documentaries, which I have to say I've really enjoyed throughout the course of the season.
Andy, just a final one, in the deadline day or the kind of January window as a whole, Charles Dunn signed an extended contract to the end of the season as well. We're still pretty unsure as to when Charles Dunn will be back. Seems like the decent thing for the club to do, though, to protect a player that performed very well in his initial stages of his middle career, only for it to be curtailed quite badly by injury. But we've given the opportunity to Charles to continue his rehabilitation at Fir Park. Of course, at times like this as well, there's not going to be a whole host of teams want to line up to take on an extra wage, especially when that player is currently sidelined with injury. So it seems like a pretty honourable thing for the club to do, and support a very popular player amongst the playing squad.
Yeah, it's something that they've done kind of consistently, I think, in the past. So yeah, I'm quite happy to kind of support that. I think they've always said that they would try if there's a kind of player there that they would want to, if they're moving on and there's some kind of injury, that they want to move them on in the best physical condition that they possibly can. So We've had a turn out of Charles Dunn, and I would hope that he would kind of come back. The longer that he's out, the more you kind of fear that he's going to be able to come back. And if he does come back, at what sort of standard is he going to be? How long is it going to take for him to kind of get close to that? But you know, I'm content enough with the kind of strategy that they have in that regard, that reflects well on us, and you know, he's done well by us, so I'm quite happy that we do well by him while he returns to fitness.
Wednesday night sees a trip to Rugby Park for yet another massive Premiership game. Scott, they've appointed Tommy Wright as manager earlier on today, a manager that obviously came up short in the interview process to take over as Motherwell manager. I'm sure that Tommy Wright will certainly have a point to prove come Wednesday night. That being said, Kilmarnock in a really poor run of form. I don't think they've won since defeating us just after Christmas. It's going to be a tough game, but I think given our current form and performances, it is one that we'll look at pretty favourably in terms of getting a result.
Certainly, I'd be disappointed if we didn't come away with a minimum draw. It's never great playing a team when they've just got a new manager. You always get that kind of so-called new manager bounce. But at the end of the day, it's the same group of players that are playing. We've had a wee bit of momentum now. We've got the way that the manager's wanting them to play, and certainly, as we've already discussed, we can clearly see that there is some positivity came from getting that fresh voice. I really do think that our season's now on, as I've said countless times now, that we are on the up. So I'm really looking forward to it. Some of the injuries, like O'Hara, seems to be coming back. We've obviously a bit of sucker punch that Declan Gallagher's been out, but we've got the kind of squad in place now. Whereas I think Tommy Wright would have benefited if he had been appointed in time for the January window. So I think that's a big plus for us, and he's virtually having to work with what was there before him. So I generally think that we'll go out. I don't want to keep on saying, oh, we're going to win, but it is a game that's definitely winnable, and I'd be really, really gutted if we go out and have a really poor performance. So a draw or a win for me is really what I'm expecting anyway. And I think the majority of Motherwell fans, I always hate getting into playing a team that isn't doing well, particularly when they've got a new manager. But I just think we are momentum at the moment, and the fighting spirit that we've seen that we'll come out of this with at least a draw.
Just looking at it, they did beat Hamilton last month, but that's their only other victory since defeating us on the 29th of December. Andy, we then move on to Accies on the Saturday. So the big games will keep on coming. Now, our record against Hamilton in recent times is pretty poor. In fact, we'll be going on best part 18 months since the last time we defeated Hamilton in the league. So that's 4 league games, 3 defeats to Accies and 1 draw. So far this season, we've lost both games to them, and their tails will be up somewhat after getting that late equaliser yesterday against Rangers. They've got to go to Livingston on Wednesday night, so we'll still a very strong possibility they'll be going into the game on the back of another defeat, given the fine form that Livingston have been showing in recent times. But I think the reason that I'm going into these previous games and that record that we've got against Accies is we've got to kind of guard against complacency here. We can't take anything for granted. This is a game that's going to need to be won on the park.
This is possibly for that reason, the fact that we've got a new kind of manager in there as well that may ensure that doesn't happen. Our record is kind of descending into the kind of levels that it was way back whenever they first kind of got promoted. And I think the kind of concern back then is that it was always a big game for them. It was always their derby, whereas, as we've even discussed in another podcast not so long ago, and many of our support don't even consider it the derby of Lanarkshire. It's, you know, Airdrie's always going to be the rivals there. And I think we've suffered in many respects across these games that they've always seemed to have that extra kind of level of motivation where we're a wee bit more kind of blasé about it, that it's, you know, it's Accies, you know, it's their big game, but we'll kind of take care of them. And time again, we've been unstuck. But I think kind of just now, I think there's a realisation there that there's an opportunity kind of build on where we've been. There's a new manager in place who's demanding new things, demanding a kind of perhaps change of standards isn't the right term, but kind of a different mindset, a different voice, and they all appear to be kind of buying into that. So I don't see there being any kind of complacency there, that we just need to kind of turn up and win it. But I do expect better outcome than what it's been in recent derbies, that's for sure.
And Scott, just finally on that one, when you look at the table, a win would be hugely significant to extend that gap over Hamilton and allow us to perhaps keep one eye on moving up the table rather than looking over our shoulders at what's going on below. I think that as it stands just now, we're still very much in the heat of a relegation battle, but we've got a whole host of winnable games coming up now. We've got the games against Rangers in late January out the road. We've got the weekend's game at Celtic Park out the way. So from here on in, it's all games against non-Old Firm sides. A lot of teams, the likes of St Mirren, St Johnston, all upcoming, Livingston at Fir Park. There's not many that you would look at and say, oh, definitely expect us to lose that. So it's now up to us to pick up the points needed to keep us up the league and keep us out the road of any threat at the bottom.
Totally agree. I said this for the first few games. Just kind of, I'll bring this up again because it's probably the only time that I've actually been right. And I predicted that we would win our games against Dundee United, Ross County, and I said we would either win or get a draw against Rangers. I said that if you look at this batch of games, this is when we judge Graham Alexander. No against Rangers, no against Celtic, no against Aberdeen. It's the games now that we're talking positive, that we think we should be going out and win. And again, I would not be overly surprised if we came out with 6 points over the next couple of games. You jokingly said a couple of weeks ago, Pepe thinks that we'll win every game 4-0 up until we play Hibs away. But at the end of the day, these games are all winnable. Nobody would turn their heads, and there's the extra incentive now for Motherwell as well, as we have been wronged quite a lot recently, and this is one of these games where we had the 3 points, so let's go out and get the players motivated, let's get the 3 points that will take us up the league. If we go out and get these two wins, then it is a case of looking up. Now, we're not going to get carried away. The aim then becomes, right, can we get into the top six and forget all about this being bottom of the league? And as I've said before, that the luck will change. We will get the penalty that's not the penalty. We will get one that ricochets off Kirk Broadfoot's arse or whatever else it's going to be. I really do think that things are looking much better. It has been that, unfortunately, that maybe just Robbo's time to go, and hats off to him. He's one that said that he thinks he's made the right choice be moving on, and I wish him all the best. But now's the time that Graham Alexander needs to look at this batch of fixtures and say, this is the games that I need to be winning. I can't be a success with getting draws against Rangers and our performances against Celtic. It's going to come on looking at Wednesday night and pulling out a result out of the bag and then beating Hamilton Accies at Fir Park. And I really do think that we'll do it.
I certainly hope we do. Guys, I think that's pretty much all we've got for this week. Thank you very much for your time tonight.
No bother, always a pleasure.
As always.
You've been listening to the MFC Podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye.